You have your Bibles, turn tonight, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm just going to pick out one verse out of a number of brief exhortation. Starting at, maybe at verse 16. Rejoice always. Second verse. 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 is the one we're studying tonight. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Some people have a great love of music, all different kinds of music. Music ministers to us in a lot of different fashions, in a lot of different ways. There's so many different genres of music, and we all have our personal preferences. I personally love music. More than music, however, I love poetry. That might sound strange to you, but most music, good music, is simply poetry set to verbiage, to rhyme. But I love and enjoy poetry. I remember learning poems by Joyce Kilmer. The trees, remember that, some of you? I think I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. And then it goes on from there. I reviewed it tonight before I came. Another author and writer and poet that I really enjoyed, and I learned some of his stuff when I was much younger, was a man by the name of Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard Kipling was a British poet whose writings have blessed many of us, including generations gone by. He lived from 1865 to 1936, so he was not a particularly old man, but he was a very gifted man. He wrote the poem, If. Have any of you ever heard of that? I'll just read a couple of verses because I learned this years ago. If you can keep your head when all about you others are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you and make allowance for their doubting too. Then there's about five verses in between going down to the next to the last. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what is more, you'll be a man, my son. He had so many wonderful poems. A jealous newspaper man, a writer, and reporter came up to him once and said, Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated the money that you make from your poems and your writings, that it amounts to about $100 per word. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and he said, really? I wasn't aware of that. The reporter cynically reached into his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill, which was big money back then, still is, pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Mr. Kipling and said, here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me one of your $100 words. Rudyard Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, folded it up, put it in his pocket and said, thanks. Now, that word thanks is certainly a $100 word. In some instances, it might even be a $1 million word. That's the one word that is too seldom heard, too rarely spoken, and too often forgotten. If any nation ought to be thankful and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be we, the people of America. If any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be us Christians. If any group of Christians ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be even those among us who live right here in Rock Springs. Now, I want to share with you several aspects about gratitude tonight. We're after Thanksgiving, but we're coming into the Christmas season. It becomes sometimes a hurried season and a stressful season. And I hope you will apply these things tonight, little lessons that we can learn about gratitude. First of all, gratitude is always to be expressed. We are commanded to give thanks. Did you see that there in verse 18? Give thanks in all circumstances. Now that's excellent advice, because a grateful person will be a happier person, they'll be a healthier person, and they'll be a holier person than a person who doesn't give thanks. Someone said giving thanks is a salve for the soul. But this is more than just good advice. Gratitude is not an option, but it's an obligation. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You are just as obligated to give God your thanks as you are to give God your tithe. In fact, it's a sin to be ungrateful. In fact, someone said, there may be no greater sin on the face of the earth than the sin of ingratitude. I've always thought perhaps the greatest sin was pride. But the individual who wrote that, I thought about that for quite a while, whether to include that. Is ingratitude or ungratefulness, is that a greater sin than pride? Well, at least in the minds of some writers that I read this week, it was. Here's some strong statements by men that weren't even known for their great dedication to the Lord. Shakespeare described ingratitude as a marble-hearted fiend, F-I-E-N-D. That is, he said, that an ingrate had the heart of solid marble. He also said this, another strong statement, I hate ingratitude more in man than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any taint of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood. He went on, this was a whole paragraph, how sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child? That's a quote, by the way, from the Bible. I know of nothing that stings the heart of a parent as a child that is ungrateful when they grow up for what their parent has done for them. The blind poet Milton said this, he that is ungrateful has no guilt but one thing. All other crimes may pass for virtues in him. What he was saying is that every other fault in a man is a virtue compared to the vice of ingratitude. Someone else wrote these words, the thief may have some streaks of honesty in him. The deadbeat may have some spots of honor. The liar may have a time when he loves the truth. The prodigal occasions when he has impulses to be pure. But there's nothing redemptive in the ungrateful heart. Finally, listen to this blistering indictment of the ungrateful soul. Trust the ungrateful soul with money and he will steal it. Trust the ungrateful soul with honor and he will betray it. With virtue and he will violate it. With love and with a heathenish alchemy, he will transmute it into lust. With your good name, and he will besmirch it. You see, ingratitude is the mark of rank worldliness. It's the mark of an unbeliever. It's the nature of an infidel to be ungrateful. Paul, in fact, referred to that in Romans 1:21 when he said, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. You and I are never more like a lost man than when we are ungrateful. That's why I say that gratitude is always to be expressed, both to our Heavenly Father and to our fellow man. We are to give thanks. Have you ever thanked the person that led you to Jesus? Might have been a long time ago, Might have been someone right in this church. Have you ever written them a note of thanks or just said, I owe you so very much? Have you ever thanked the Sunday school teacher who has so faithfully taught you the Word of God as a child? What faithful Sunday school teachers we have in this church who every Sunday teach the Word of God and oftentimes put in as much preparation on a Sunday school lesson as we pastors put in on our messages. Have you ever thanked them? Have you ever thanked your wife for being a good mother, your husband for being a good father? Have you developed the habit of saying, thank you, sweetheart? There's three things that ought to be so characteristic in our lives. Please, thank you, you're welcome. I hope those three are a vocabulary that you often use in your life. Gratitude is always to be expressed. Give thanks in all circumstances. The second point about this is gratitude is always to be expansive, or you could put down expansive or expanding. We are told to give thanks in all circumstances, or some translations say in everything. Those two words are words that make this verse really difficult. If we were told to thank God in most things, that wouldn't be too hard. We could live with that. If we were told to thank God for the good things, we could certainly live with that. If we would find it a lot easier to accept and obey if he said, give thanks for the good things that you have. But Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Now, a caution here is in order. Nowhere in the Word of God are we commanded to feel grateful. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings can be affected by the weather, by the temperature, by the function of your liver, by how much rest you got the night before. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with your feelings. We're not commanded to feel grateful. It doesn't matter whether things are good or bad. We are commanded to be grateful, which is an act of volition rather than of emotion. Do you follow that? Now, you might say, well, easy for Paul to say. No, it wasn't. My goodness, if you study all the things that happened to him, it's amazing. In Acts 16, we're told of a story how Paul and Silas were beaten with rods, whipped and scourged, and thrown into a Philippian prison. But rather than sighing, they began singing. Rather than pouting, they began praising. I don't know what song they sang. It would be interesting to know the choruses or what they sang that night. We are indeed to thank God for everything. So thanksgiving is to be expressed. It is to be expansive or expanding. Now, here are some things we're to be grateful for. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessings of the Lord make one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. According to this verse, if you are a believer, you've been blessed by God. And if you've been blessed by God, you're rich. I like one definition of a Christian that I read not long ago. It said, a Christian is someone that does not have to consult his checkbook to see how wealthy he really is. Do you make it a habit to thank God for the blessings of your life? Food, for example. Do you thank him for your daily bread? Jesus always gave thanks for food. One-third of the world's population is underfed. One-third of the world is starving. Now, in fact, I read a statistic this week that said one-third of the world is underfed, one-third is starving, and here was this thing, 30 people starve to death every minute. Think of that. 30 people starve to death. Are you thankful for your food? If you don't say grace in your home before you eat, I would hope you would make that a holy habit. Some Christian homes do not say grace at their table. I would encourage every one of you, if you don't say grace before your meal, please make that a holy habit, especially if you have children at home, because it will teach them from their earliest days that this is what God has provided. I try all the time when I pray to thank God for my wife preparing the food and for God providing the food. It's sad to me to see people who sit down to a meal. And you know, a good place to do that is in a restaurant. That's a good witness to sit when you're at a family in a restaurant. Some people chicken out. They're going to think we're this or that and the other thing. That's a wonderful place to join hands and to thank God for the food. I got down here, retell your old joke, Larry. You know, when you've been somewhere as long as Pastor and I have, all of our jokes are old. But I've told this before a number of times, but I get a blessing from it every time. It's about a farmer in bib overalls and his young son in a restaurant. And when the food was brought to them, they bowed their heads and the old farmer led out in prayer. Two young hooligans nearby was poking fun at the old farmer and his son praying before they were eating. One hollers out, "Say, old man, does everybody do that out there where you come from?" The old farmer replied, "No, son, no, not everybody. The hogs never do." If you don't pray before you eat, let your prayer be an example of your spouse, or even if you're by yourself, bow your head and pray. We all ought to have the announcer of the little girl whose father was a radio announcer. She was invited to a friend's house for dinner, and when she arrived, the mother asked the little girl if she would honor them by saying the blessing. It delighted the little girl. She cleared her throat, looked at her wristwatch, and said, "This food, friends, is coming to you through the courtesy of Almighty God." She'd been listening to her father, I think. Do you thank the Lord for your food? What about water? What about water? Clear drinking water. Do you know, I read some interesting, did you know that only 3% of the water in this world is fit to drink? 3%. That's only 1/3 of 1% of the water is available to drink. If you see some of these pictures sometimes in these third world countries of where they're drinking water that you and I would not even want to, you wouldn't think an alligator could live in it. And this is the water that they drink. I tell you, we should be grateful for everything. Even the small things. Someone said, "Be grateful for the Venetian blinds. If it weren't for them, it would be curtains for all of us." In fact, some of you are covering your faces, I think so. In fact, I believe that God's greatest blessings are oftentimes found in the smallest things. I heard about this elderly lady in a testimony meeting down south. Could have been up north, I guess, but this happened to be down south. She said, "There's always something to be thankful for. I only have 2 teeth left, but thank God they both meet." So do you thank God just for the food? When you're able to take a bath or a shower or a cold drink, I've tried, I don't know that I always do, but I have tried hard to teach myself to thank God every time I drink a glass of cold, clear water. I thank you, Lord, for this water. When I'm in the shower, I say, "Thank you, Lord, for this water. Help me not to waste it." I hope you're not one of those people that stands in the shower for 30 minutes and drains all the water out of a hot water heater. That's wasteful. But take your shower and be grateful for water. Another thing, not only the blessings of life, we ought to be grateful for the burdens of life. We're told, in everything, give thanks. Notice it is in everything and not necessarily for everything. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For all things are for your sake." Everything that happens to you also happens for you in the sovereignty of God. That's why we ought to give thanks even in the burdens of life. I've heard this illustration for many years, but it shows Matthew Henry is one of the great Bible commentators that many of us have read for years. He was a Bible teacher, wrote a lot of commentary. He once was accosted by thieves and robbed of all of his money, and he wrote these words in his diary, "I'm so very thankful I got robbed. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Thirdly, because although they took everything I had, it wasn't very much. And fourthly, it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Do you thank him also for the difficult times? Do you ask him? I put this in your notes. We thank him for the sun. Do we thank him for the rain? We thank him for joy. Do we thank him for pain? We thank him for gains. Do we thank him for losses? We thank him for blessings. Do we thank him for crosses? So, blessings, burdens. Now, here's another third thing we ought to be grateful for as we talk about grateful for these things is the benefits of life. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Do you ever thank God just for the benefit of being one of his children and one of his creatures? Just for the benefit of living on this earth? Aren't you glad that God, we have so many modern conveniences? Those of us of older years, I thank God for my hearing aids. They're a pain. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't be able to continue pastoring if it wasn't for hearing aids, because I don't hear well enough to function well in a counseling session if it wouldn't be. But when I put them on, I can get almost every single word unless somebody is speaking really softly. What about glasses? How many of here tonight of us have glasses? Aren't you grateful for glasses? Think of that we would be just walking around, some of us, like blind people if it wasn't for our glasses. We wouldn't have any clarity. We wouldn't have any ability to drive safely or to walk safely. Little things. Aren't you grateful for sunlight? I read today, I looked it up, we ought to be grateful for sunlight. Wyoming, did you know Wyoming gets more sunlight per day in a year than most of the other states in the United States? We average 258 days a year of sunlight. Now, if you want to go to Vermont, they get 58 days a year. And I don't know if sun ever shines in Washington or Oregon, you know. Only thing I've ever seen when I was there was moss on the trees and moss on the side of the houses and moss, moss, moss. But I'm grateful for the sunlight. Someone put it like this: what on earth would we do if God all of a sudden went on strike and wiped out all of these benefits? This poem says it well. How good it is that God above has never gone on strike, because he was not treated fair in things he didn't like. If only once he'd given up and said, "That's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth. This is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun, turn off their heat supply, and to the moon, give no more light, and run the oceans dry. Then, just to make things really tough and put the pressure on, turn off the vital oxygen till every breath is gone." You know, he would be justified if fairness was the game, for no one has ever been more abused or met with more disdain than God. Men say they want a better deal, and so they go on strike, they go. But what a deal we've given God, to whom all things we owe. We don't care whom we hurt to gain the things we like, but what a mess we'd all be in if God would go on strike. Think about that. Well, here's the last one now. Gratitude is to be expressed. Gratitude is to be expanding or expansive, whatever you want to put in there. Gratitude is always to be expected. And then I thought, too, you could put in there / enjoyed. You see, gratitude is a real test of your character and of mine. A little child doesn't know how to be grateful. You can take a little baby when they have colic and walk the floor with them for 7 hours, and when you put that little guy down, he doesn't look up and say, "Much obliged." He just lets out a yell and lets you know that your 7 hours is not quite yet over, that you could do more. You have to teach a child to be grateful. We have to remind ourselves to be grateful. One lady gave her little grandson a piece of cake, and the little boy said, "Thank you, Grandma." She turned to her husband, the little guy's grandpa, and she said, "I just love to hear little Jimmy say thank you." He said, "Well, if you," little grandson said, "if you put ice cream on that cake, I'll say it again." Thank you. Thank you. By the way, this is a little aside. Have you noticed how our society today has changed your welcome into, "of course"? Have you ever noticed that? You say, "thank you," and they say, "of course." Huh? Yeah. It's a common expression nowadays, and I always think to myself, "of course what?" I mean, of course. I hope that we as Christians always have "thank you" and "you're welcome." Don't say "of course." I know that they don't mean anything by that, and they probably mean "you're welcome." But there's just something so impersonal about saying, when you thank someone, "thank you for that." I'm over at McDonald's, I'm a regular customer over there in the mornings, and I'll say "thank you," and they say "of course." And I think to myself, "Okay, I wish you would have said you're welcome." It's just an expression of, I know time replaces some phrases with things, but don't ever let that get away from you. So gratitude is to be expected. Gratitude's the mark of a growing Christian. Gratitude's a real test of your Christian character. It really is. Gratitude is the mark of a giving Christian as well as a growing Christian. Everything you have and that I have is a gift from God. Someone's well said, I put this in your notes, thanksgiving, to be truly thanksgiving, is first thanks and then giving. You can give without being thankful, another old saying, but you cannot be thankful without giving. Someone says, "Must I keep on giving again and again?" "Oh no," said the angel as his glance pierced me through. "Just give until the master stops giving unto you." Pretty powerful, isn't it? So it's the mark of a growing Christian, a giving Christian, and it's also the mark of a glowing Christian. It will shield you. I put this in your notes because I think it's so applicable. An attitude of gratitude will change your life. It will shield you from cynicism, from criticism, and from pessimism. It will draw you close to God, and it will draw God close to you. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, the Bible has a recipe for that. The best way to express your gratitude to the God who made you is to be saved. The psalmist said in Division 116, verses 12 through 17, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits?" Then he answers his own question. "I will take of the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." So that little one all-important word is thanks. 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 Or thank you. I close with this statement. Billy Graham made this. He said, "A spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to God." I'll say that again. A spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to God. Teach yourself. Practice the discipline of thanksgiving, of a grateful. Look for the things that you can be grateful for. There are multitudes of them in your daily life. And give God, when you lay in your bed tonight, Dory and I were talking the other night, and as we were having our devotions, and we had the fire over there, and it was just warm, and it was slow, and we said, Lord, thank you, because we'd been outside putting up some decorations, and we're cold, clear through, and we came inside to that fire, and it was like, thank you, Lord, for a warm home. Thank you for a furnace that doesn't sleep. Just kicks on every so often. Keeps us warm all night long. Cultivate a thankful heart. Let's pray. Father, you have given us so many, many, many blessings. In this Christmas season, give us evermore a heart that says, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your incarnation. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the hope of heaven. Thank you, Father, for your presence, your power every day manifested in our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.